Today we're going to be talking about obedience in the natural. Do you know that we also have a duty to obey and submit in the natural? In other words, submitting to human authority. Let me say it again. Did you know we have a duty to obey and submit in the natural? Submitting to human authority, and the Bible has something to say about this. It's in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Verses 1 through 7. If you've got a Bible, you can turn there. If not, I'll read it to you. All right. It says, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe, and if you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. So for the next few minutes, we're going to be talking about submission to human authority from Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. So the first question is this. We're going to kind of go through it scripture by scripture. Who must submit to the governing authorities? Who is required to submit to the governing authorities in the natural, the human authorities? It's found in verse 1 of Romans 13. It says, everyone, every soul, no one excluded. And that includes you and me. All right? So everyone must submit, must obey the governing authorities. Now, submission to the authorities includes inward honor, speaking well and respectfully to them and about them when they are in presence. So submission to the authorities includes those two things: inward honor, and when they're with you in your presence, speaking well to them, and when they're not in your presence, speaking well about them. And I've seen it in some areas where people are not in agreement with certain governing authorities, and they get into what's called gossip, and they speak wrongly of the governing authorities. They speak behind their back, they slander them, they tear them down. And I've seen people do this with, for instance, the president of the United States. He's not present with us physically, right? But, you know, if you're gossiping about him and are not agreeing and slandering the man, guess what? You're not speaking well about him. So in essence, you're not really being submitted to this person who is in authority. Now, let me ask you this. What types of authorities do we have present day? Think about your own life personally. What types of authorities do we have, do you have, do I have present day? Say it again. Okay, your mom and dad, that's good, right? The two that brought you, helped bring you into the world. Anybody else? That's it. You got it. The officer downstairs. All right, he's reading my message here, I think. We got the director of John 3:16, right? Here at the shelter. We've got the chaplain. We've got Joe. We've got other people in authority in the natural here at the shelter that we need to submit to. The security officers here at this place, right? When they ask you to do something, do it. You know, don't rebel against them. Don't disobey them, because then you might bring their wrath down upon you, if that makes sense. You know, as far as walking the streets of Tulsa, who are the authorities? Keeping law and order. Police officers, that's right, police officers, keeping law and order. Now, if you've got a job and you're working, whatever it be, 10 hours, 20 hours, 40 hours a week, your authority, 8 hours a day, for the person you work for, is your boss, your employer. And like I said, on a national scale, on a bigger scale, the President of the United states, all right? And I know we don't agree with everything he does, but you know, if you're gossiping constantly about him, slandering, tearing him down, you're really not submitting like the Bible says to do. Because what? Guess what? What does the Bible say here in Romans 13? It says, every authority over you, over me, has been established by whom? Every authority has been established by whom? It's been established by God. He says it at the end of verse 1. He says, there is no authority except that which God has established. Did you know that God was in control of the president who became president here 4 years ago in the United States? Plain and simple. Says it again chapter 13. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Then he kind of repeats it again in verse 2. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. So he repeats this idea of the authorities being established by whom? By God. What is he trying to do? He's trying to emphasize the point that any authority in our lives has been put there, has been established, put into place by the Almighty God. God ultimately is in control of everything. Is that making sense? Now, think about it this way. The power of the authority has been placed there by God. God has put that authority in power. He's given that person power, be it the director here, the chaplain, the security officers, the police, the president of the U.S. God has given those people the power. However, the abuse of power by the one in authority is not of God. So if there's some authority in your life, some authority that you know of, that is abusing power, doing things that are immoral and unethical, well, the abuse of that power is not by God. It hasn't been done by God. It's the giving of the power that was by God. Is that making sense? All right. Now he says this. He says, if you rebel against the authority's request, you in a roundabout way, in verse 2, are rebelling against whom? If God has placed that authority and power, and you're rebelling against the authority, in a roundabout way, you're rebelling against whom? You're rebelling against God himself. Is that making sense? All right, because God has put that person in power. Now, like for instance, here at the shelter, if they ask you to come in at a certain time, and you're like, no, this is my life, I do what I want to do, I come in anytime I want. Or if they ask you to go to bed at a certain time, and you're like, you know what, I do whatever I want, I go to bed at whatever time I want. Guess what? You're rebelling against the authorities right here in this place. If you're a student, and they give you certain responsibilities, and they say to you, as a student, you must do this, this, and this, and you don't do it, you disobey, you're rebelling against the authority that God has instituted. In a roundabout way, you're rebelling against the Almighty God who has instituted that person, who has put that person in power. Is that making sense? All right. Well, you know, if in the natural, you know, walking the streets of downtown Tulsa, the authorities say don't do certain things, and you do it, you're rebelling against the authority. You know, if you go into a store and you shoplift, guess what? You're rebelling against the law that God ultimately has instituted. And there are negative consequences for rebelling against the authorities. For instance, what are some of the consequences? He says, those who rebel against what God has instituted will bring judgment on themselves. Rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. So if the authorities over your life are telling you to do a certain thing and you don't do it, there's negative consequences, right? For instance, if you drive a car and it says 40 miles an hour and you're driving 50 or 55, you're rebelling against the law of the land. You might get a speeding ticket. If you run a red light, you might get a speeding ticket. Is that making sense? Jail time. If, like I said earlier, if you walk into a store and the authority says, you know what? The law of the land is that you don't steal and you shoplift. Guess what? You're probably going to find yourself with a negative consequence of jail time. If your employer asks you to do something, if he tells you to be there at 8 o'clock in the morning or 7:30 in the morning, tells you to be there at 7:30 in the morning and you show up at 8:30, 8:45, and you do it consistently, guess what? The negative consequence might be the loss of a job. It's so simple, right? I'm just kind of expounding on what the scripture is saying. I want to give you kind of a personal illustration here, right? I own a business. We do work on people's homes here in Tulsa. And 4 years ago, it was around August of 2008, there was a young man at one of the shelters. I won't mention the name of the shelter. It wasn't this one here. There was a young man at one of the shelters that needed work. So I hired him and took him to the job site in South Tulsa, like I said, about August of 2008. And he did great the first day. He worked hard. Well, the second day, the next day on the job site, I was his authority, right? I was his employer. The next day on the job site, he comes in and kind of has a bad attitude. And was trying to figure out what was going on. And, you know, he's there working on the job site, doing landscaping, and he's talking on the phone, texting. And I told him, I said, brother, listen, I mean, you're on my clock right now, and you can't be texting, you can't be talking on the phone. I'm paying you for the 8 or 9 hours you're going to put in today, and you can't be on the phone. Told him that once or twice, maybe three times, and he continued talking on the phone, continued texting. And finally, something got in his eye, maybe a piece of dirt as he was working. He got upset, kicked his foot, and started to yell. And he told me, he said, man, just take me back to downtown Tulsa. We were like 45 minutes away in South Tulsa. And I said, man, come on. I said, you need a new pair of shoes. Go ahead and work the day, and you can buy yourself a new pair of shoes. But he was kicking and screaming and just didn't want to submit to the request that I gave him, which was to stay off the phone while he was working. And just went on and on and on, and said that he had some type of disagreement with his girlfriend and was having a bad day and just wanted to go back to downtown Tulsa. He had worked about an hour and a half, and he threatened that he was going to walk back to downtown Tulsa or he was going to hitchhike back. And so I decided to, you know, I finally bent and I took him back, and you know what? He was just being disobedient. He was not submitting. And guess what? He didn't get paid for the day. He didn't make the money he needed to make. And pretty much he lost the job with me because I was thinking about keeping him on. But I could not hire somebody with that type of attitude. And saw him sometime later at the same shelter. And he said, you know, I'm holding up the sign for this business. And they're paying me like $5 an hour or $5.50 an hour. He said, would you give me another chance to work for you? And I said, yes, give me your phone number. Gave me his phone number and tried calling him. Never could contact him again. But you know what? It went bad because he was not submitting to authority. And that's just a small example from my life. And it's the same with us, friends. You know, if the boss is asking you to do a certain thing that is ethical, that is moral, and he's paying you for it, then do it. You know, if he's telling you to stay off the phone, then stay off the phone, right? If he's telling you to take a 25, 30-minute lunch and you're taking a one-hour lunch, guess what? You're rebelling against the authority, and the negative consequence could be that you end up losing the job. And then he says this in Romans 13. He says, do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. So what is he saying? He's saying, on the other hand, if instead you obey the authority and you do what is right and you submit to his request, he'll commend you. He'll praise you. You'll be blessed. You'll be promoted. You'll be complimented. It's so simple, right? So how many here want to be blessed? How many here want a job promotion? How many here want to make more money per hour? Then do what the authority is asking you to do. If you're a student here, how many want to graduate successfully and go through the program? Then do what the authorities are asking you to do. It's so plain and so simple. Now, if you have this mindset, you got to check yourself. If you've got this mindset, you know what? This is my life. I'm an adult. I'm a grown man. And I'm just going to do what I want to do. They can't tell me what to do. Guess what? That's a rebellious mindset. That is a disobedient attitude. And guess what? You're not going to be blessed if that's your attitude. But if your attitude is humble instead, and the Word of God says that God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. If your attitude, on the other hand, is, you know what? This is my life, but this person over me is my authority, instituted by God. And what they ask me to do, I am going to do. And when you have that kind of attitude, that mindset, another person, your authority, could read that mindset. They can read that attitude in you. And if you're submissive and obedient and don't rebel, guess what? You're going to end up being blessed. You're going to end up going places that you never imagined possible in your life. And it's simple. Just humble yourself and do what the authority is asking you to do. All right. Then he says this. He says in verse 5 of Romans 13, therefore it is necessary to submit to authorities, not only because of possible punishment. That shouldn't be the only motivation for submission, but also because of conscience. We submit not only because of punishment, but because of conscience led by the Holy Spirit. Now, let me give you a word of encouragement here today. Think about this. Always keep in your conscience that one day you might be the person in authority. You may be a person in authority over some area one day, be it a job situation, be it here at the shelter. Somewhere, you may be in a church, you may be the person in authority. The way you treat your authorities today, your subjects will treat you tomorrow. Let me say it again. Always keep it in your conscience that the way you treat your authorities today, your subjects, in other words, the persons under your authority one day, will be the way that they treat you tomorrow. Is that making sense? Because what a man sows, he also reaps. What goes around, comes around. It's the golden rule. Do to your authorities what you would want your subjects to do to you. Do for your authorities, the people over you, what you would want your subjects one day to do for you. You'd want them to submit to your request. Is that making sense? And then he makes a practical application here in Romans 13. He says in verse 6, this is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. Revenue, then revenue. Respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Then, and you know, we have what's called the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service here in the United States. And there's a lot of people out there, guess what, that don't pay as much as they should or don't pay their taxes at all. And you know what? If they're not paying their taxes, guess what they're doing? They're not submitting to the authorities. And they're going to bring punishment down on themselves. And it goes the same with you guys. You may not owe that much in taxes, but if you do owe taxes, if you've had revenue that is taxable, then do your taxes and pay those taxes. That's a form of submission to the authority of the land, the IRS. Is that making sense? It's plain and simple. He makes a practical application here. So, you know, we are to be obedient to the lordship of Jesus Christ in every area of our life, as we talked about last week. But, you know, in the natural, we're also to be obedient and submissive to the human authorities in our life. Because always remember that human authority in your life has been placed there, or has been put in power by the Almighty God. If you rebel against Him, against her, in a roundabout way, you're being disobedient to God. And there will be negative consequences for that. The good news is, if you're obedient and you submit, there's positive consequences. There's blessing around the corner in your life. Is that making sense?